This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Kelly and Company, thanks. Wherever you are listening in, whenever you listen into the program, we appreciate it. Our first repeat of the show is at 5 p.m. Eastern, midnight, 5 a.m. in the morning. You can also subscribe to the Kelly and Company podcast and listen to the show at your leisure. You can listen to the complete show. We stack that up there for you and even throw on an audio vanity card. Our producer, Jeff Ryman, he's handling that today, and you can find that at the end of the full show. But if you prefer to listen to your favorite segments parceled out and available to you, you can subscribe and listen along the feed of Kelly and Company to the segments parceled out and available to you. I'm Kelly McDonald, Ramya Muthan, my co-host in her home studio in Toronto. I'm at the home studio in London, Ontario.
All right, Kels, we've been talking a lot about Canadian history of late with a lot of different things going on, but how well do we know Canadian history? According to a 2021 Canadian History Report card, the average score from around the country is 67%.
Yikes.
I say not so great, like C plus. No, we could do better. So we're going to dive into this report card and explain how, and hopefully learn how we can improve this grade with Manager of Programs and Education with Historica Canada, Mira Goldberg-Posh. Mira, thank you for coming on Kelly and Company.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
And we're delighted to learn more about what's going on. So how did you, first of all, collect data for this report card?
So we did a deep dive into the curricula of every single province and territory and looked at every single course that touched on Canadian history, whether that was a Canadian history-specific course, a social studies course, a global studies course, in whatever capacity the course touched on Canadian history. We looked at all of them to see if they had enough of that history to be considered a history course. So all the mandatory courses between grade 7 and grade 12 across the country. We also looked at electives, but didn't include those in the grade. Not everyone would take those.
Wow. Oh,
but,
boy.
It was very extensive.
Yeah. Well, how deep that is, that's unbelievable. So when you guys get all the data in, you start doing your calculations and say, oh my goodness, 67%. Is it just me? Does that seem pretty low?
I mean, I think it's low. It is lower than the average grade of the previous report card, I believe, although I don't have that on me at the moment, but it was lower because this time we expanded the criteria to look at kind of a broader swath of how history is taught as well as content. And specifically, we looked at adding the TRC's calls to action and how they've been addressed in curricula this year. And that did take down the average score somewhat. But I mean, there are standout courses, our standout provinces and territories, to be fair. Ontario is doing great. So that's good. And there are some that are in the process of renewing their curricula. So we hope that with those improvements, the average grade will improve overall.
Okay, so you mentioned Ontario doing great. Any other provinces you want to talk about that did really well?
Sure. So the next one on the list was, I believe, Nova Scotia, which offered a lot of variety in their courses. They have, in grade 11, the option to take 5 different history courses, and all of them touch on Canadian history in some way. So no matter what elective you choose, you're taking Canadian history. And we thought that was really great. It gives them kind of a different, everyone's kind of covering the different perspectives. And we also were really intrigued by the Northwest Territories, which has a new course in grade 10 that they've instituted in the last few years. And it was so positive. It was the number one best course we looked at, the curricula itself. Gotcha. It was our curriculum specialist kind of looked at it and was like, this is the one that should be the model for all future curricula across Canadian history in Canada. So that was really wonderful to look at. Yeah.
That is a really positive thing to hear. Also, I love that roping everything in your 5-year course, your courses, and saying like out of Nova Scotia, because it's nice to find that way to circle it back to include Canada in whatever you are looking at it when it comes to the other world events, other world locations, so on and at different times. So I probably have to word this in a nice way. What provinces need the most work?
Unfortunately, Quebec and Alberta came in at the bottom here. Alberta only has one course that is necessary, that is mandatory rather, across grade 7 to 12, and basically just doesn't on its own have the space to cover the necessary content and skills. So the easiest way to up Alberta's grade would be to mandate more Canadian history courses in grade 7 to 12. And they also need to update their course, we would say, which as far as we know, Alberta is going through a curriculum renewal. We'll see what that comes out with in the next few years. Quebec has some room to grow. They focus really, really well on covering kind of the traditional Canadian narrative from a Quebecois perspective, but right, it doesn't have a lot of balance or with the kind of diverse lived experiences, and it doesn't incorporate a lot of land and indigeneity. So basically, Quebec's curriculum, they have 2 years of Canadian history, which is great, and they do a great job of that Quebecois perspective, but bringing in more diverse perspectives and content would be a great way to kind of ameliorate that.
So you already mentioned to us, Mira, that you changed the criteria during the study a little bit, which made the results a bit different than past years, right? So anything else mm-hmm. that caught your attention because of this in the study? Any particulars, either province to province or just in general on how we did?
Yeah. So one of the things that we focused on more, last time we focused on in the incorporation of the historical thinking concepts, which are kind of six key building blocks for history education rather. And this time we looked also at kind of critical thinking and inquiry, which we hadn't looked at quite as deeply last time. And what we discovered was that all of the provinces and territories have incorporated the idea of inquiry, which is great, which is basically asking questions to get to what has happening in history. But a lot of them kind of like critical thinking should be an intrinsic part of inquiry, but a lot of the provinces and territories formulated their questions in such a way that they were actually kind of leading questions of funneled students to a predetermined answer instead of opening the question for them to be able to explore and learn and analyze themselves.
No, sorry. I'm kind of going on your thought here, because the thing that I'm wondering is we are very multicultural in Canada and are very mm-hmm. proud of that. So I wonder how much of knowing Canada's history in a lot of people planning out their programs means more than in the sense of kind of just remembering dates, events, and happenings, as opposed to asking those questions that you're thinking mm-hmm. to help a person get along, because we recognize many people, their parents, their grandparents may not come from here. And yes, you want them educated, you want them knowing, but you want to be fair about it, because I wonder if a lot of over the years there's been, are we making it kind of a disservice or unfair to some people?
Yes. So that's definitely something we look at all the time, which is kind of the diverse. We looked at the balance of historical narratives. So the quote unquote traditional historical narrative, which is like political, military, and economic history. We looked at social history, multicultural history. And we also actually this year incorporated the idea of reflection, which is basically the opportunity for students to learn from kind of diverse family, community, and local histories, and how well provinces gave people the opportunity, students the opportunity to learn from something that was really relevant to them, as opposed to something that may have happened in 1722 on the other side of the country. So that was really interesting to look at this year and see how provinces and territories were starting to incorporate that. I would say a kind of a newer trend in history education.
And what do you think of the timeliness of this? You know, as I was saying off the top of bringing you on to Kelly and Company, that I find that we're paying more attention nowadays on what we know, what we don't know, and how to, you know, treat our resources, right? And really know like how we're gaining this information about our history, who we're listening to, and really just the types of stories that we're hearing and how we're taking them in. And I find that talking about this report card at this time in a general way, but also, you know, personally to all of us, is making an impact just because of the timeliness of it all.
Yeah, we were very timely on that. I mean, mm-hmm. as I mentioned, the coverage of the TRC's calls to action, which calls to action 62 to 65 specified what schools and education boards can do to bring in Indigenous knowledge, education, and that kind of thing. And so with the awareness that has come over the last, you know, 5 years since the release of the TRC's calls to action, and more immediately in the past couple months, we thought that was really kind of a good dovetail. And we hope that the importance we're putting, we're saying that like education is the best way for people to understand shared histories and, you know, the experience of other people, and, you know, breed that understanding and hopefully a better, more balanced future. And so having this come out right now is really great. And it's also really great to see that every single province or territory has added the TRC's call to action in some way. Some better than others, but it was heartening that all of them have in fact added them in.
Right. Mira, amazing talking to you today about this topic and really knowing how we can improve on this report card for knowing our Canadian history. Thank you so much for joining us on Kelly and Company.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a wonderful day.
You too. We were speaking with Manager of Program and Education with Historica Canada, Mira Goldberg-Posh, and we're talking about our 2021 Canadian History Report Card.
In the next hour, freelance journalist Megan Gilmore tells us about a human rights complaint that alleges that the federal government is failing to provide proper supports for First Nation adults with disabilities in Manitoba. On our Voices segment, we're joined by Chatty Book contributor Ryan Huey. But up next, community reporter Kim Thistle highlights fun activities for the whole family in and around St. John's, Newfoundland. Stand by. You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.